What is going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday, September 16th, and you are listening to or watching another episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Evan, and back again is our fearless leader, Mr. Tanner Lee. How you doing, Tanner? And Aaron. He's here last week.
I'm doing good. I don't know if I'm any sort of leader, let alone a fearless leader, but enjoyed your guys' shows while I was gone, but it's good to be back. I've been excited to talk about some Purdue football the last couple of weeks and haven't really had too many people to talk about it with, so good to be back.
Well, since you came back, Purdue was 0-1, so I'm not sure if it's a good thing or not.
Well, at least I'm here. You know, yeah. I was saying if we were 0-2, you weren't going to see me ever again.
That's
true. I was
going
to be shark bait, so.
That's true.
At least we got a couple wins under our belt. Better than last year already.
Better than last year already, yeah.
Double the win percentage.
Very true. No lies detected. So, but no, got a fun show in store tonight. Of course, we'll be recapping Purdue's first loss of the season to USC by a score of 33-17, even though I think we can all agree the game feels closer than the final score really was. And then, of course, previewing this Saturday's matchup, 59th matchup for the Battle of the Shillelagh. Definitely not the 59th meeting between the two teams. They've met many more times than that, but we'll get into that later on. But I do have some trivia with me. That does involve Notre Dame. I'll give you the question, and you guys can either answer now or if you want to think about it throughout the whole pod and answer at the end, I don't care. Do whatever you want. But as far as I could tell in my research, once again, could be wrong, but I did fact check AI and AI was wrong. So this is my own research. What Purdue quarterback has thrown for the most yards in a game against Notre Dame?
AI was wrong about this?
Yes. They gave me a name and I went and checked it and there was somebody else who threw for more than the name it gave me.
I have my guess. It feels too obvious, but I've got my guess if you want to guess, Aaron.
You can go ahead.
My guess is Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton? Aaron?
I was thinking Orton too, but I'm afraid this was in a losing effort.
Orton? I know. That's. I was just like, is it too obvious to pick Orton or is it was someone like, yeah, I don't know. I had another guess, but it felt, I don't know.
Kyle Orton's thrown for the second most yards in a game against Notre Dame, and that was in the 2004 win.
Yep. I knew it.
We got a comment here, and John Hawks is right. It was Curtis Painter.
That was my second guess.
And it was in a losing effort in 2006.
That's Curtis Painter
threw for 398 yards in a 35-21 loss. 238 of those yards was a Selwyn Lyman, who had eight catches for 238 yards and two touchdowns.
It's one good game.
One good game. I mean, a historically good game.
Yeah.
And he trucked Tom Zbikowski in the process.
So. I forgot about Lyman's. Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah.
Was he your guess, Lynch?
Why I said losing effort?
Was that your guess?
Was Painter? It was going to be Painter or Orton. Yeah. And I went with you because I was like, it had to be. I wonder if it was a losing effort. Was my opinion.
Yeah.
Thought. I know it wasn't Brandon Kirsch.
No, Kirsch threw for, I think, 285 in 05, though. A lot more than I thought he did in that game. But the most in the last, of course, we haven't played Notre. We've only played Notre Dame twice since 2014. But the most since 2010 is Rob Henry.
Really?
In the 14 game?
The 13 game.
Okay, 13.
Yep. Is that that was in Indy, wasn't it? Or was that 14?
14 was Indy. Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
How's that that game?
Yeah. A lot of sad statistics I came upon in my research today, but we'll get into that. But we can talk about a little more positive. And that Saturday, this past Saturday against USC, even though in a losing effort, I think we all probably came away with some positives. I know I did at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, it kind of reflected a little bit of, I said in a start group chat, a little bit of 2017 against Louisville. Not a whole lot of I had less expectations in 2017, to be honest. This game I actually thought Purdue could potentially win if they you know, a few things fell their way. And then honestly, when the rain happened, I thought, okay, if we can, this thing gets a little sloppy, this could favor Purdue a little bit, and Purdue's field drains way too well.
which is a good thing.
Yeah. thought maybe some, was it 2017 also? Was it the Minnesota game?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall it was, you know, I felt it sucked, but the fact that you had, you know, three turnovers in the red zone, two of them basically in the end zone, and one of them being a fluke, you know, thick six, as I called it. It was just, obviously it's hard to win any of those games.
Yeah. If you would have told me before the game that turnover differential was going to be 3-0, I'm thinking USC by five touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that tells you Purdue was pretty much, you know, right there in this game. And of the three turnovers, like you said, the second one, end up being the pick six by the 360-pound defensive lineman, which has got to be the heaviest guy to score a touchdown in Ross Stadium history, I would think.
Tom confirmed it today. It was.
Yeah. I was going to say it's got to be. Besides that, I mean, I didn't think that one, yeah, kind of fluky. I mean, I don't think that was really Ryan Brown's fault. It got tipped.
No.
But the other two definitely were.
Especially the one was bad. The first one was really bad.
Yeah, he's got to eat this or just eat the sack and take the field goal at that point. I mean, just.
Yeah.
But hopefully that comes with more experience. I mean, this was only his fifth career start. People seem to forget that. But other than that, I thought Purdue's offense moved the ball really well all game. Mm-hmm. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of this receiver group. One thing that I was thinking about today was, you know, Purdue's had some really good receivers in the last decade, but it's always been like one guy that you know, it was Rondell Moore was the main guy. Then it was David Bell. Then it was Charlie Jones. Last 2 years, there was nobody. So I feel like they can really spread the ball out with this group. I mean, Nitro Tuggle's starting to come on to his own. Michael Jackson's off to a good start. Horton's made some plays. Burnham Branch, who I just hope can stay healthy because he seems to get banged up every game. And we haven't even seen Magwood or Morissette yet. So, you know, so there's some others that should be helping on the way. So I think so far one of my big takeaways quarter through the season, which is weird to say, three games in, is the wide receiver room is not leaving me with as many questions as I thought they would three games in.
Does any of that have to do with Ryan Brown's ball placement? Because I was impressed with some of those throws and the windows he was throwing into on Saturday. There were some throws that I was like, oh wow, I haven't seen this since O'Connell in regards to pushing that ball through some tight windows. I mean, I remember the one to Horton, but he also did it. And I think also that's why some of the passes that we thought in the first couple weeks were like, that's definitely a turnover in Big Ten play. And some of them he made this week, past week. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe he has a more arm strength than I anticipated on those throws.
Yeah, I definitely think he's got a decent arm. It's just decision-making. I thought he played a pretty good game aside of those three turnovers. I was listening to the Golden Black today. I agreed with Tom. Maybe there was some RPOs or some that he should have left in Mockaby's stomach and not pulled out, because that was one thing that was disappointing, even though USC's got a huge defensive line. Purdue just cannot get anything going on the ground, and they're going to have to. I mean, the quick passing game made up for some of the lack of running, I should say, but you can't rely on that every game. I mean, if they have any chance against Notre Dame, they're going to have to run the ball a little bit.
Notre Dame's 103rd in FBS in pass. So their secondary is not as good as it was.
Right.
And they've also played some pretty decent competition, too.
That's
compared to a lot of schools.
Two pretty good quarterbacks. Yep.
Yeah.
They play against two pretty good quarterbacks, two competitions. But I mean, if they're 103rd right now,
that's
truly what they are. I understand they've had two games versus us having three, and a lot of other teams having three as well, because they had that bye week for the Zach Bryan concert for some reason.
I'm shocked that Notre Dame would hold a concert like that during their season, because what it could do to the field. But
there's not being turf.
Whatever.
I I mean, I would say there was all even things that they didn't talk about in Gold Black's podcast today. Harris missed some blocks. Mockabee missed some blocks in regards to those assignments. If those assignments get cleaned up, Brown does have more time. The offensive line was definitely mismatched, and the line of scrimmage, well, I'll say both lines of scrimmage were either 5 yards on the defensive backfield for us or the offensive backfield for us. That's just going to be a talent gap that they're going to have to overcome with just effort. Moving forward. And I don't know if you can scheme that. But that's just something they're going to have to recruit for. And I know that 4-star end was going on a visit from Evan. Where did you say he was from? Anywho, I know he's coming, but I know Odom and company are looking at probably trenches more than anything.
Sure.
But I would be, I think the biggest thing I was happy about was fourth quarter, the game's out of hand, and Sheeran, that defense is still playing. And still, like, that is night and day from what we saw last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's one thing my wife commented on. Of course, this was the first game her and I went to this year, but she's went to quite a few games the last 3 years. And that was one thing she hated about last year's team, felt like they gave up all the time. And that's one of her takeaways was this team actually has some personalities. It seems like that are fun to watch, and they seem to care. I know it's early in the season, and the season's not out of reach or anything by that stretch yet, but I enjoy that they're a much better tackling team. Yeah. Not perfect by any means, but they tackle a lot better. My one kind of concern with the defense is we're 3 games in and they haven't forced a turnover.
Yeah.
And we got too accustomed to that last year.
They haven't also created pressure either. Not even the first 2 games against Ball State or Southern Illinois. They definitely didn't do it this past weekend.
Right.
So, I mean, I will say CJ Carr is a pocket passer. So we'll see if Notre Dame's offensive line holds up. I mean, it's a bunch of 4 or 5-star kids.
Oh, sure. Talent gap's going to be huge. But
if they can generate some pressure and make him uncomfortable and push the middle of the pocket back, then maybe we can get some turnovers and make this game. But there wasn't many penalties.
Nope.
Which is huge. I mean, the team looks engaged. I can't say that about last year's team.
Correct.
I mean, so – I think, again, their mindset set is another opportunity. That's all we hear in post-game, pre-game, pre-week press conference. We'll see how this opportunity looks this weekend.
Yeah. Now, the one thing, because I had to leave at halftime to get home, but when I was driving home, you know, it was still a pretty decent game, and I was listening to it on the radio, and when that pick six happened, I was like, well, you know, hey, it was – fun while, you know, it was, we were still around, and then they still made it a little bit of a game, which was
came right back down awesome. And scored.
Yeah. Came right back down and scored. And I was like, okay, like this is refreshing from last year. And like, I got home and Purdue was in the game. And then like shortly after was when he threw another pick, but
that's when we left after that pick. Yeah.
It was nice to see, you know, a team faced with as much adversity as they were faced with, again, with the turnovers, especially that one that's just you don't really hardly ever see. Last year's team at that point would have folded like a lawn chair at that point, probably lost 45-10 or something.
Guys in the locker room.
Yeah. So that was nice to see. And hopefully hopefully if things don't, you know, games like that happen again, you know, in November, they're still trying to hang in there as much best they can, which is really all we can ask for this year. But yeah, I mean, I know like the defense, there was a couple times where turnovers were so close. I know there was a couple tip passes and hit off a guy's hands. And I thought maybe that one in the first quarter where I'm blanking on the quarterback's name, just kind of threw it up and it was just kind of a lob.
Yeah.
The receiver was 6'4", 220 and just out.
They got some dudes for wide receivers. Yeah. They got some athletes that'll be playing on Sundays. For sure.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, you could probably argue them and Ohio State probably the two best wide receiver rooms we'll face all year. Yeah, that was just like, I remember we saw that, it was like, that was just, I'm not sure what our guy could have really done outside of be 4 inches taller. But yeah, I was, it sucked to lose, but it was like it just felt, it was a different loss compared to what we'd seen in the past.
I'll ask this question after I say this statement. Technically, they're the number one offense in college football right now. And I understand they played some lower level talent, Missouri State, Georgia Southern, and us. But I think this team not quitting and showing and keeping fighting and moving the ball actually down the field. I mean, that's definitely surprising, which goes to kind of where I want to ask this question. We're a quarter way into the season, folks.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel so far about this new staff?
I'm feeling a lot better than I thought I'd be feeling three games in. I mean, another thing I want to point out defensive-wise, we still haven't given up a second-half touchdown yet.
Nope.
And we only gave up two touchdowns to number one offense, which is like they didn't even register. I mean, obviously, like field goals, you could obviously talk about getting off the field on third down and the fourth down and all that kind of stuff. But still, the fact that you were able to hold the number one offense to just two touchdowns, it's a good starting point. Obviously, it's not where we want to be, but it's
It wasn't even third down. It was fourth down. I mean, they were four for four on fourth downs. I don't ever recall seeing a pre-opponent go for it four times on fourth down, let alone get it every time. You know, and a lot of them were short yardage, fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three. But that was the thing. If Purdue could have just got them off the field two different times on fourth downs, we might be talking about a different game too. So definitely some opportunities that were left out there on the field. But I think, and I know Barry and staff and the players, they want to win now. I get it, as they should. But I think with where this program has been at and where it's currently at, you have to learn to compete before you learn to win, one step at a time. You know, good effort Saturday. If you can piggyback that up with another good effort on Notre Dame, then you get a bye week and a good Illinois team coming in. If you play, even if you lose in Notre Dame and Illinois, but you play well, I think everybody's pretty optimistic heading into an October that all of a sudden, at least I'm thinking this way three games in, why can't we beat Northwestern? Why can't we beat Rutgers? Heck, why can't we beat Minnesota? They look gettable so far.
Yeah. I'm looking at October now, which is crazy. I'm thinking 3-for-4.
Yeah, I know.
Like, pie in the sky, like, which is crazy to think about. But it's like, I mean, yeah, like Northwestern looks awful. Minnesota, like you said, looks gettable. You know, they went out to Cal and didn't put up a good showing. And then Rutgers, you kind of, I don't really know what you get with Rutgers. It just kind of depends on the day, it feels like. So, I mean, those are the teams that you have to, you know, kind of our peer programs right now in this new Big Ten. But yeah, I'm looking at October, like, man, if we can get 3 out of 4, like, man, that feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're definitely not the bottom of the Big Ten anymore.
Oh, yeah. UCLA. Not
going UCLA. Game. Oh, my God. Why can't we play them?
I know.
And Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iowa. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens to Iowa and Rutgers Friday night. But yeah, Iowa still can't score. It doesn't matter what they do or who's behind center there. And I still don't. There's still some other question marks. I don't know about Michigan State yet, really. Even though they had a double overtime win against Boston College, I guess. But
we're feeling better at quarter way season than we thought starting. Like, this is so far better than expected where we'd be.
I would say so. Yeah.
Evan, no comment?
No, I say, yeah, I agree. Yeah, okay. I think it's, I actually really know what to expect. It was more just like, going into Saturday, I was a little worried that we were going to see Notre Dame last year just because of, like, I know they weren't as good as Notre Dame, but just again, just the talent level that they have. I was just worried of, like, what happens if they come out and go 4-for-4. The first four drives were touchdowns.
I will say I got more worried during the rain delay because I'm like, man, we need a full house. We need that place rocking. Mm-hmm. And credit to Purdue fans. A lot of them did stay. It was still a good environment, but it wasn't a full house like it would have been probably if it wasn't for that rain delay, which that was such a boring rain delay. I don't recall ever having a rain delay before a kickoff. The only other two times I can remember is Eastern Illinois in 06 or 07, whatever the year that was, and then Minnesota in 2017. But both games were already in the second half when that happened. So that was definitely interesting. Hopefully that we don't have to go through that again. But But so that, so shout out to Purdue fans for still showing up and creating a good atmosphere. Cause I was really worried. I'm like, oh boy, the stadium's going to be half full. There's going to be tons of USC fans, which there were a lot of USC fans.
Yeah.
That crept in my mind for sure.
I will say the CBS had a mic up there at the band. It was definitely amplified up there with the USC band. I was like, I do not want to hear "Fight On" like at all anymore. Let's just cut this mic.
Yeah, it's cool that they bring a portion of their band for every road game, but man, they play that song all the time. Oh, yeah.
Any other remarks we want to make about Saturday's game before we kind of move into our next segment?
No, yeah, I think obviously it was good showing. Hopefully we can build on it. And
All right. Well, then we'll move into the next segment and then award our helmet stickers for the week. So anyone tuning in, this is our new segment. We wanted to bring it back from College Game Day Live in regards to Mark Maine and Lou Holtz every Saturday night with Reese Davis giving helmet stickers or Monday morning. So we're going to do the Purdue version. So we'll start with Evan. Who is going to be your helmet sticker for the week?
I'll give mine to Nitro Tuggle. Kind of his little emergence of a game. I'll take it. It's nice to see kind of like what Tanner had already talked about, just having a wide receiver room that's not just one guy. Getting his first touchdown as a Boiler. We'll take that. So I'll give it to Nitro.
All right. Tanner, who's your...
Well, Evan took mine, so now I got to really think. You know, even though he threw three red zone interceptions, I'm giving it to Ryan Brown for one of the craziest touchdowns we've ever seen in Purdue history on the double pass, to have the presence of mind to pick the ball up, realize, oh, they haven't blown the whistle, it might be a backwards pass, to not only pick the ball up at the 30, but to run it in. Michael Jackson should have never thrown that ball. I don't know why he threw it, because the USC defender had Brown covered like a blanket. Still don't know how the USC defender didn't catch it.
Oh, yeah.
So I will give my helmet sticker to Ryan Brown.
All right. Terry, you want to pull up this last comment? Because this is definitely where my helmet sticker's going.
That's no surprise.
My helmet sticker is going to Jack McAllister, averaging a net 54.3 yards per punt. Booed as long as his career is 68 with the first punt. This kid's a stud.
He's good.
There's no doubt about it in my mind. Jack McAllister, you're getting your first of many helmet stickers, my friend.
Well, hopefully not too many. I mean, hopefully he gets one for like a fake punt pass conversion or a run or a touchdown or something. I mean, no offense to Jack. It's great to have a good punter. I mean, that's a weapon, but hopefully we're not punting a ton.
Special teams win games, boys.
Yeah, they can, but he is good. Thank the Lord that Nebraska's special teams coordinator won a rugby-style punter. I mean, that's 2 years in a row Purdue's had good punters. I know Crimmins left for Illinois, but because punting's an area for years. Purdue, when they had good teams, Purdue struggled at, so. Yeah, good pick. I like what I've seen on McAllister for sure. So, you guys want to get right into the Notre Dame game?
Let's do it. Yep.
So Purdue's got to get another pissed off Notre Dame squad 2 years in a row. Last year they were coming off the loss to Northern Illinois. We know how that game went. Largest victory in series history, 66-7 by the Irish. This year they're coming in not losing to a MAC squad, losing to two good teams and at Miami and to Texas A&M at home. But by just a combined 4 points, their backs are up against the wall already. I still think they could make the college football playoff, but there's little room for error. I think they realize they probably have to run the table, and they have to do it by not only beating teams like Purdue, Pitt, Stanford, but by beating them easily. And like Aaron said in our group chat, putting up some style points. So we will see. I think if Purdue wants any chance, they have to come out and punch Notre Dame in the face somehow and see how they react to adversity, which Purdue has not done too many times in the recent memory in this series. I mean, look at, like I said earlier, this is the 59th meeting in the series for the Shillelagh, which that part of the series, Notre Dame leads 39-19. Overall in series history, Notre Dame leads 58-26 with also two ties. Longest win streak in series history is 11. That was for Notre Dame from 86 through 96. Current win streak is 7. That started in 08 and goes through present day. And last time Boilers beat Notre Dame was 07. Last win in South Bend was 2004 for the Boilers, 41-16. We all remember that day pretty well, even though we were much younger than we are now. Before that, the last win in South Bend was September 28th, 1974, 31-20.
That's wild.
Don't remember that game.
No. A little before our time. But talking about this series, this gets me into my blind rankings for the week. I have 5, unfortunately, losses that Purdue has sustained to the hands of Notre Dame because, let's be honest, since we've been fans, we've only seen Purdue beat Notre Dame 3 or 4 times.
I think since our birth year, I think Purdue's won 5 times total.
97, 99, 03, 04, and 07. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was talking to my friend Mike Rossmer about that. Like, we were talking about how no matter what the series is, it always feels like Notre Dame just feel like we've got a chance. And it's like, when he said that, I was like, yeah, I feel that way too. And I was like, should I really feel that way? And I looked it up and I was like, I've only seen Purdue win technically 3 times. I really only remember 2 of them.
And the consistent thing about that is each time of those 5 wins, Purdue had an NFL quarterback starting for him. So that helps. So I got 5 here. You guys can put them in your order. I guess your criteria could be a combination of how pumped were you going into the game, how optimistic, how defeated did you feel coming out type of thing, I guess. So
I'll go how defeated I felt.
Okay. So I'm going to jumble up the order. I don't want to go chronological. That's too easy to let you know what's coming next. So
I guess we will. So if I'm going defeated, so it's 1 I'll being go. Like, I was like the most defeated I've been, and 5 was like, eh.
Yeah. If you're going, yeah. Yeah, if that's the route you guys want to go. Yeah,
1 5 being crushing. Yeah.
Yep. 5 being that didn't bother me so much, and 1 being oh my god, I can't sleep. We will. Go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if you want to go defeated, I'll go optimistic.
Okay, and then Aaron, your ranking might be different then.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas 5 would be the most optimistic, or no, you can still go 1 to 5. Still
be optimistic.
Yep. Okay. All right. Everybody following along at home. I hope that makes sense. So, we will start off with the 05 game, which number 13 Notre Dame came into number 22 Purdue here at Ross State Stadium. I believe the last time in series history, which both teams were ranked when they met, which is sad. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame walked away with a 49-28 win. Brady Quinn threw for 440 yards, 152 of those to Jeff Samardzija, who had a one-handed diving catch. This was a night game, which back then was rare. Purdue rarely got night games. It was either against Notre Dame or Ohio State, because without lights until 2017, TV crew had to bring them in. So, 2005.
I'm going to put this one at 5 just because I don't remember it a whole lot. And just being so young, I kind of learned, like, you know, just the youthful optimism that tomorrow was a brighter day sort of thing, whereas being old and getting older has changed that set of 5. Because, I don't remember a whole lot. And I was just, so young that I produced on there every game after that.
I was actually at this game. And that place was electric. I'm going to put it at 1. It was, I mean, we were coming off our first loss, right?
Yeah, overtime to Minnesota.
Okay.
That 05 team had such high expectations. I mean, the Orlando Sun, it was a newspaper, picked them to win the national championship in the preseason.
Well, it's because of the bowl. That's why.
That team had NFL talent all over it. It
did. I don't remember a lot of it. I do remember Samardzija's catch, because that was in towards the south end zone, one handed. Brady Quinn just threw a rainbow.
Yeah, he did.
I remember some plays from Keller and Orton, Greg Orton, that is. during that game. But I remember that place was jagged. I remember I was out, which would now be Rolls Royce. That's where we parked.
Oh, wow.
I'm dead serious. It was nuts. And I've never seen an environment at Ross Aid like that.
Yeah, I remember being pretty jacked up. That was the first moment, like, in my fandom, realizing, oh, Notre Dame's kind of arrived type of thing, because they were okay. They had their moments with Tyrone Willingham. This was Charlie Weiss's first year. You know, they ranked 13th, and then they end up going to the Fiesta Bowl that year and losing to Ohio State. But that was the first time, like, oh, Notre Dame's kind of back. And the one other moment I remember from the game was Purdue was in the red zone, and Gerard Void tried to jump over the pile with the ball, and Notre Dame knocked it out before, and that flipped the whole game. It was pretty early on in the game that flipped it, and they just cruised from there on out. And I remember feeling pretty defeated, and unfortunately, that Purdue team never recovered, going 5-7, missing a bowl for the first time in Tiller's career. So,
Would you say that was one of the top five most electric atmospheres in Ross-Ade, though?
Yeah, I think so, particularly back then, because, I mean, night games are still sweet now, don't get me wrong, but back then when you didn't get them nearly as much,
few and far between. Yeah.
It was usually just Notre Dame or Ohio State. Yeah, that place was jumping.
Because it was ABC, it was
Musburger,
and oh, he retired right after the Rose Bowl. He passed away.
Keith Jackson?
Yes, Keith Jackson.
Yeah,
because I remember it was electric. That and then that season was just like you said.
Well, and Purdue had beaten Notre Dame back to back years going into that. I mean, so they had the upper hand for a little bit, but
in the downfall brand curse. Yep.
Yeah. He wouldn't start too many more games after that.
I thought he looked the coolest quarterback in college football.
He thought he was pretty cool.
He was, because we're Canadian.
Yeah. All right, next one on the list. We will go with 2013. Daryl Hazel's first matchup with the Irish. Number 21, Notre Dame comes in, squeaks out a win. Brian Kelly and the Irish, 31-24, a game that saw Purdue get a 10-0 lead and have a halftime lead of 10-3.
I'll go 4, but I remember this was after the Ricardo win in the Indiana State game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're going to roll with us. But I still had optimism. The coaching staff and Daryl was saying, we're getting better watching the tape. That line they used for 4 years repeatedly. But yeah, it's a 4 for me.
This one's also nothing to do with the game. This was the first Saturday after my 21st birthday, so I'll just leave it at that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I remember being bummed that we lost, but feeling stupid looking back on it. I remember talking to one of my roommates that night, like, I feel good about this team. Like, they showed me some stuff tonight. I think we're going to be all right. My God. Even like I've seen highlights of the game. Like I've went back, watch highlights. And I'm like, even the plays we scored, I'm like, what kind of formation was that? Like, John Shoup's offense. To this day, I've seen nothing like it. I don't know. So I remember feeling at halftime. I knew we had to lead, but I didn't feel good about the rest of the game. And I think we scored like with 2 minutes left to make it a 7-point game. I think the game kind of got out of reach a little bit in the fourth. But all right, next up, we will go 2010. Brian Kelly's first game as Notre Dame head coach. It was the first game of the season for either team. First game for Robert Marv, who had tons of hype coming in as a transfer from Miami. Notre Dame won by a score 23-12.
This is probably my 2. I remember I was really looking forward to that game. Again, I know Tanis was your freshman year, my senior year of high school. And yeah, just that kind of optimism, obviously, of the Danny Hope era. And again, with Marv, like, oh man, we got this kid from Miami. Are you kidding me? Like, he could have gone to Tennessee and he chose Purdue. Like, this is where Purdue takes off. And then, yeah, just kind of not really getting it done. It was pretty, I was really bummed after that.
This is definitely the 2 for me. He was an athlete we never had at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I remember watching his freshman film, like his freshman games at Miami when he did start, and he was like, he had elite arm strength. I mean, he broke Tebow's records at Plantation at high school. I thought we had something. The flip he made in the end zone was one of the coolest coolest plays ever. I had so high hopes for this team, and it didn't pan out that year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That offense just couldn't get it going. That game and that team that year just got so
injury
bit by the injury bug. I mean, that was a 4-8 team that was close to being 6-6, even with all those injuries. Probably should have beat Michigan State and Indiana, but didn't. So,
all right, next quarterback.
It doesn't help. That makes things more difficult for sure. next up, 2009. Danny Hope's first year, Notre Dame won 24-21 thanks to a Jimmy Clausen to Kyle Rudolph touchdown with 24 seconds left.
This is, oh man, because I'm trying to think of what you might have next. And the other one I was going to have, the one I think you might have was going to be my one, but not, I totally blanked on this one. This was probably my number one, just being there. The timeout. Yeah, just like. Yeah, I remember that was just – I was hot after that game.
This was another night game there. It was electric. I remember this definitely didn't have the hype of 05, but definitely it was for 3 for sure. I mean, he was just inheriting the staff from Tiller, and Elliott played great that game. And – Ralph Bolden had a good game that game. I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember him doing anything that stood out, but I remember Jason Taylor had the game leading touchdown on the wheel route. I mean, just wide open. I mean, that was just a beautiful play call by Gary Nord. I don't say that too often, but but it was. And Aaron Valentine had a touchdown. Keith Smith had a touchdown that game.
Keith Smith.
Place was jumping, and then the last drive happened, which there's a play on that drive that a lot of people forget about. We had them like 3rd and 15, maybe even 3rd and 20, and they complete a sideline route for a first down, and then end up going down the field and score.
Was the sideline route to Michael Floyd?
I thought it was Golden Tate, but it might have been Floyd. I don't know. It was one of those two, I think.
I think it was he threw it up to Michael Floyd, because I don't remember Golden Tate catching. Doing I much. Think that, yeah, Golden Tate was another game.
Okay.
I think it was 10 game, actually. I think it was Michael Floyd that night. But, yeah, 3 for sure on this yeah, one. Yeah,
it was a tough one. I had multiple bets with people that night, too, for different things, and lost them all. So,
like 16. Yep.
I was 17. All right, last.
I would say call 811, but that's for digging.
That is for digging. They weren't monetary bets.
Yeah.
But I had to mow a yard, and I didn't get like 10 free meals from Wendy's out of it. So, yeah. And lastly, 2012, number 22 Notre Dame held off a really good effort from Purdue, 20-17. They had a 27-yard game-winning field goal with 7 seconds left.
Yeah, 3. Yeah.
Glad this is my 5.
Yeah.
I got mine perfect. I would not change it.
I might switch. Man, actually, I kind of like. I thought you were going to throw 2011 in there.
Thought about it.
Which I was thinking that I was going to put that as my number one, just because that was my first Notre Dame game as a student. Sure. It was just like one of those things where I was like, man, I can't wait to get to be a student and for like a big game like that. And I remember just being so hype. And then we throw a pick on the first play.
I had a great view on that. That was my first. Yeah. My second game as a manager being on the sidelines. I only stood on the sidelines 3 games in 2011. I was lucky enough to get the Notre Dame game. And he's trying to throw to Gabe Holmes, and he underthrows it by 15 yards. Caleb Turbush, that is. All downhill from there. Michael Floyd couldn't cover him. Yeah. 38-10. It was just a whooping. It was bad.
Yeah. I was just marriage walking at me and like, wow.
Yeah.
I waited my whole for this.
But 2012 was a game. Purdue was right in it.
Yeah.
There's controversial Everett Golston ended up getting taken out for Tommy Reese. Tommy Reese ended up winning the game for Notre Dame. But he fumbled and hit the pylon, which should have been a touchback, but instead they called it a touchdown, even reviewed it.
I forgot
Robert Marv blew his ACL.
Yeah.
But Caleb Turbush, to his credit, comes off the bench, throws a touchdown on fourth down to David Evanson to tie the game. There was also on the game-winning drive for Notre Dame, the play clock hit zero, and it should have been delayed game. They never called it. Let's snap. Yep. So I'm still complaining about something 13 years later, but I thought Purdue fought real hard in that game, but just didn't get it done because Purdue's off to a good start in a non-conference that year. Unlike 2011, that was another reason. I mean, Purdue had already lost to Rice by the time Notre Dame came in. So, but
yeah, so I thought maybe 2014, I was like, that, I mean, we were already bad, but I was like, knowing that was the last game, we really didn't really know when it was coming back on the schedule. We just knew, hey, I was just thinking, like, wow, like, we're not going to play Notre Dame anymore. Like, this is all I've known, like, every year. Like, we're gonna play Notre Dame, we're going to play Indiana at the very least. And yeah, but that we sucked. So,
man, I'm glad you didn't put you didn't put last year in for optimism. That would have been way higher.
I never want to speak about last year ever again. So that game, no. But I mean, the 06 loss and 08 losses weren't. There wasn't a ton to talk about. I remember 06. One thing that stood out besides Sewan Lyman's performance was Jeff Samardzija was the holder. They did a fake field goal for a touchdown. He caught the ball and ran. 08, I was at that game. Curtis Painter threw a pick early in the first half, pick six, and they just rolled from there on. I think Chris Summers missed the field goal early on too, chip shot. And just wasn't a good day for Tiller's last time against the Irish. But, yeah, a lot of sad memories in this rivalry, but it's a rivalry I enjoy.
Yeah.
Don't know why, because like I said, we were on the wrong side of the stick more times than not. But this is a rivalry that will go through at least 2028. That's when the current series is to end. I doubt it gets extended past that, but I could be wrong. Right. I don't know. Heck, they might be a member of the Big Ten by 2029. Who knows?
I would think they want to renew this thing just because it's been an easy chalk up win for them.
You would think. You know, it's funny because we lose the game a lot and our fans still get pumped. It seems like Notre Dame fans who win, they could care less about the game. I don't know. It's and I wanted to throw this out to you guys because you guys know this. And I think a lot of people who have been following our podcast for the last 6 or 7 years know this. I can't stand Notre Dame. Yeah. It was hard for me to even root for them against Indiana in the college football playoff last year, but I did it. I found myself room for Notre Dame, but
I thought it was gonna be hard. It was not as hard as I thought it was gonna be.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a couple reasons for that.
But, I guess when they play in the future in that home and home, I'll root for Notre Dame again. But besides that, I would not root for Notre Dame in any scenario. I don't mind their basketball. Their basketball doesn't bother me. I can't stand their football, but like, and I know you guys aren't fans of them either. But what gets on your nerves the most about Notre Dame?
I mean, for me, like, again, where we grew up in Northern Indiana, like, you know, that's, we got our news stations from South Bend. And so it was just like, just the constant, you know, waking up on, you know, Monday morning, getting ready for school, having the TV on. And anyway, we had a small TV in our kitchen. And my mom would have that on while she got ready for the day. And I'd be eating breakfast. I just hear like them talking about just like how amazing Notre Dame was over the weekend. And I was like, and I remember seeing like, well, Purdue won too. You're going to show that. And like, no word of it. And just like the, you know, then if Notre Dame loses like game this weekend. And so just the arrogance, obviously you have the whole thing of like, you know, how many people do you know actually went to Notre Dame that cheer for Notre Dame? It's just, I mean, in my even adult life, I could probably count on one hand how people actually know, and one of them actually works for me. So it's like, he doesn't really care about their football team. But yeah, it's just the arrogance for a certain basketball team too that we dislike. Yeah, and that's what comes down to, just the arrogance and just the, you know, the high horse of we're independent, that whole thing, especially in today's college football landscape. Like, just join a damn conference already. Like, just get it. Like, who cares? It's going to be all one conference in about 10 years anyways at this point. It's going to be a MAC level conference with everybody else who didn't make the cut. Yeah, it's included.
Relegation.
I mean, yeah, it just, an amazing campus. I've been there. Obviously, I think we all went there as an eighth grader, mm-hmm. and when we were growing up, like, incredible campus. Obviously, God, I would hope so with the how much it costs to go there. Obviously, you know, prestigious institution. But yeah, just could not. It's the fact that Marcus Freeman went there really hurt me because I love Marcus Freeman. It's just, yeah, weird that this is, and the joke too is funny that they have to, you know, have former Purdue coaches to have successful programs because of, I guess the only way is, the only difference is the women's program doesn't have a Purdue coach, but Purdue affiliated with Neil Ivey. But it's true, obviously, and obviously Freeman makes it a little more likable. That's what made me a little easier in the playoff against Indiana. Also, just because it was like, I never thought, like, I always thought, like, growing up, like, if Indiana played Notre Dame, I'd cheer for Indiana, no problem in football. But then you actually throw in the fact that it's now for a chance for a national championship, like, that changes up real quick for me.
Very got, well said.
I'll make mine short and sweet. You covered a lot of it. I mean,
yeah.
But the one thing you missed, he was offsides, and that's Rudy.
That too. Yeah. Oh man, you get me started on. Don't get me started on Rudy. I'm just like learning about it. I've only seen the movie probably once or twice. It's been 20.
They
years.
Take two shots at Purdue in that movie too.
Yeah, I remember the. I only remember the first one, which is the very beginning, right? When they want to watch the Purdue.
The friend wants to watch. Can we watch Purdue? There's only one team we watch in this house.
Yeah. Yeah, just the whole, like, when you find out about how the movie was actually, why the movie was made, it was because Rudy, like, demanded that one of the movie being made about him, and you find out, like, he was just an absolute tryhard in practice that no one really liked because because he was trying so hard he's going to hurt people, but yeah.
Yeah, the other line in that movie was, Rudy's mad that they're not hitting him in practice, and he goes up to Lyman, what do you think? Who do you think I am? Somebody plays for Purdue? I'm like, why? 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 But you know, back then that we're their in-state rival that played them every year. Yeah. So, I thought you guys both hit the nail on the head, especially with the arrogance comment. I know Notre Dame fans already this year. I mean, they've lost to two good teams by combining 4 points that are saying, nope, done, not watching another game this year. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's just the arrogance. We're better than you. We deserve the best. The NBC TV contracts always got on my nerves. Always got on my nerves. Especially now when there's so many streaming. There should be nobody who has their own rights to their own channel. But
yeah,
especially a school that hadn't won a national title since '88. But
well, I'll say this: it's because of Comcast. It truly is, and Pete Kwiatkowski now being the, you know, AD and being from Comcast, NBC, and being the previous sports like person there. Now it's Sam Flood.
God, you know a lot about Comcast.
I loathe Comcast. They're going to, and that's another thing why I don't like Notre Dame. I think my hatred for Notre Dame ever since Brian Kelly left is kind of tampered down because I agree. I think Marcus Freeman is a really likable guy.
He is a likable guy.
I think, you know, they have A-list celebrities as their thing. I mean, we don't. I mean, we got Drew. That's about it.
I just saw a commercial. Vince Vaughn had Notre Dame shirt on the other day in a commercial with Owen Wilson and him.
Yep. So, you know, it is what it is. They're going to have independence is not going to happen. Them and UConn are going to have to get inside of a conference somewhere eventually. But the NBC money will never run out for them. Unfortunately, I know we made this joke growing up was they should just be on pay-per-view and make all our lives easier. Well, that happened because now they're behind Peacock.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but it's not full pay-per-view like we're hoping.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have, but it is. I will say this: a professor once told me they are the NFL team of Indiana, and that's 100% true. They're like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, I think they have a larger fan base than the Colts.
Oh yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
So. Yeah. They definitely have the biggest stadium.
And their fan base is nationwide. It's global. I mean, they travel well. They go, but yeah, like Evan said earlier, I can only name you a few individuals on my one hand that I know that went to Notre Dame and like Notre Dame. It's just, you know, oh, my dad liked Notre Dame, so I'm going to like Notre Dame type of thing. So,
well, it's local. It's local.
Yeah.
It's local. It's on network TV. I mean, so a lot of these people are going to afford it, and it's like $60 tickets. So then every local is going to come in on a hundred thousand capacity seat stadium and be able to buy them those tickets. Yeah. So it literally is just like an NFL, just on Saturday. Truly, Dallas Cowboys of college football have won a thing, and have so much publicity. So, but Marcus Freeman, I'm glad Brian Kelly's not there because I would really
hate he's that. A jerk. He's a jerk. He made that known again over the weekend at LSU with his comments after the game.
I missed that. Not like
he, I won't say word for word because I'll get it wrong, but he got on right away. A guy asked a question. He didn't like it. So he ripped into the guy in the media, and it's like, it was a fine question. The guy probably should have asked, I forget what the question even was. I shouldn't even brought this up because now I'm just blowing this segment. But the guy should have asked the question like later on in the press conference, maybe not like let off with it. But Brian Kelly still shouldn't have treated the guy as bad as he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he went off. It's like, dude.
But that's his temper. Yeah. He went off on, you know, I look at Dabo should have made those comments in the first place. Now how Clemson lost to Georgia Tech this weekend. But he went off on Dabo week one. Like, did you not watch the film kind of deal? I think Brian Kelly, I'm glad he's gone. He's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
But he is a horrible public-facing coach.
He's a horse's ass. He's a horse's ass. That's what he is. I mean, he's just not a good guy. But, yeah.
So we want to move on to picking some games this weekend.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we want to do top 25 first or Big Ten?
Big Ten.
Okay.
So only eight of them.
Right, hold on. Are we doing our prediction for the game first, or are we going to do it at the end?
We can do it at the end. I'll hold it. So, as Tanner said, we got a Fox Friday night game. I'm not
Friday Night Lights, baby. Friday Night Lights.
Can't full hearts or clear eyes, full hearts. Can't lose. So, Iowa travels to Rutgers, 7 p.m. Fox kickoff. Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite.
I actually like Iowa to win this game.
Yeah. Give me Rutgers at home. They start out 4-0. They're feeling themselves.
Yes. Rutgers, I think, win by at least 7.
All right.
All right. Man, again, NBC. They have their big noon game on Saturday. Maryland
at Wisconsin. I really did noon games.
They actually have three games this weekend. And then next weekend, I was actually texting Tanner today. Next weekend, they're going to be overcapacitated because they actually have Packers Cowboys on Sunday night, and they have the Ryder Cup plus Notre Dame as well. So too much NBC. You're going to hear so much about
that. They have IU
Illinois. Yep. That's next Saturday.
Oh, that's this Saturday. Sorry.
No, it's Saturday. This Saturday. Yep.
And Notre Dame's on the road next week.
Oh, so it's ABC.
They're at Arkansas next week.
Yep, it's on ABC. Sorry, folks. That's on ABC.
Yep.
Going back to our Big Ten slate, Maryland at Wisconsin. Who you got?
Wisconsin look like garbage in Tuscaloosa, but they make a lot of teams historically look like garbage down there. I think Fickell's in trouble, though. Maryland's undefeated, but they haven't played anybody. Now they go to Camp Randall. Give me Wisconsin.
I think so. I'm with you. I think Wisconsin and a close one.
Give me Mike Locksley and the boys. Go Terps.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings. Yeah.
No, not at all.
I think Mike Locksley is underrated.
Okay.
All right. Next game. This isn't really a Big Ten showdown, but they don't have a conference really. So Tanner has not called this anymore because we're 2020. Oregon State at Oregon for the Battle of Oregon.
Still calling it the Civil War. That's what it's called.
Not politically correct anymore.
That's what it's called.
Not politically correct anymore. We have to bleep that out.
Well, this Oregon State
Oregon team is by about Oregon by about 800.
Yeah, Oregon State is garbage. Oregon is a premier national title contender. Oregon's gonna kill them.
Oregon is favored by 34.5. Go Ducks.
Yeah, they're going to kill them.
This game has actually got me interested. I'm glad the CBS game. Number 21, Michigan travels to Lincoln to take on the Huskers. Michigan is favored by 2.5.
That place is going to be, it's already a great football environment. That place is going to be turned up to 11 with a ranked opponent coming, especially a team like Michigan. Obviously, Nebraska hasn't played anybody. I mean, Cincinnati, I guess, but that was a pseudo home game. I'm going to take Nebraska. I think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns plus. I think this is going to be similar to Nebraska going into Indiana last year, where everybody kind of thought like, this is their first test, blah, 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 and Indiana just took it to them. I think Nebraska's going to, especially with a freshman quarterback and for Michigan, I think Nebraska's going to.
And Sherrone Moore
ETA, suspended. As the kids say.
Yeah, Moore suspended. I do think it helps Michigan and Underwood with the environment that they've already played in Norman against Oklahoma. But I am still taking Nebraska. I hate it.
Same.
But Matt Rhule does well in third years of programs that he takes over, and they got a pretty easy schedule. They could win 10 games.
They could be 8-0 real quick.
Yeah, they could be playoff consideration. Absolutely.
I'm going with Nebraska here too. I think they get to 4-0, and I think they can get to 8-0 easy. And then we're going to be talking Big Ten title. Big Ten.
Make them throw up.
Here. All right.
Why? I mean, their fans are nice. I've never had a problem with them, but for some reason, I just root against them. I don't know.
We'll come back to this game. We're going to go to the Apple Cup. So Washington travels to Washington State. This is on CBS too, as well. 7:30 Eastern.
Give me Washington. I don't know anything about Washington State, and just
Washington. Yeah. Washington's favored by 20.5.
By what?
20.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Give me Washington then.
Yeah. I haven't been impressed with Washington State. Give me Washington.
Yep. Jed Fish and the boys get it done, in my opinion, as well. All right. Game, I think, of the week in the Big Ten.
I think it's game of the country, potentially.
We'll get to that one in a second. Number 9, Illinois travels to number 19, Indiana. IU is favored by 5.5.
Jesus, I forgot about this game. I'm thinking about Michigan State, USC. That's why I made that face. I'm like, game of the week and game of the day. What?
No. We'll get to that one here in a second. I have some business.
That makes more sense. Is this the biggest game in Bloomington in years?
Oh, by far. By far.
I know they made a big deal about the Michigan game last year, but I feel like this is a bigger.
Michigan was unranked. Yeah, this is maybe going into the year last year, sure. But like the fact that when you got to the game, Michigan was dog water. I have a horrible feeling about this game. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have a horrible feeling.
Lynch loves himself some Luke Allmeyer. We know where he's going with this pick.
I mean, I hate both teams, but yeah, Yeah.
This game is going to be won up front by Illinois. Simple as that. I picked them to go to the Big Ten Conference title appearance, and I'm sticking to it. They have to win this weekend to be get top 5 ranking.
Well, they got Indiana and USC the next 2 weeks before they come to the Ross State, and I'll go on record. I want those sons of bitches undefeated coming into Ross State. I do. I think it'd be fun challenge and a fun atmosphere.
Probably top 5.
It'd be a great atmosphere.
They'd be top 5 after this weekend. There's no doubt in my mind. If not six.
I think it'll be a good game. Illinois has been a little more tested going to Duke. Even Western Michigan's better than any opponent Indiana's played.
Yeah,
not Mendoza. They beat Virginia Tech.
And Virginia Tech fired their coach. Mendoza's been awesome, but my gosh, against Indiana State, I think Ray Charles could have completed some of those passes.
We respect
Ray Charles. I probably should have said that, but it's too late. I like Ray Charles. Give me Illinois in a close one, though. I think it's going to be a good game. Honestly, I don't like either team, but game day should have been there. It's stupid that they're doing Miami and Florida.
Yeah.
I think Billy Napier gets his ass fired after this weekend. So
if they get, I kind of said this last week too, but I thought if they gotten blown out against LSU, I think he would have been gone. If they get blown out this weekend, I think, yeah, he's toast. That being said, I just have a bad feeling Iowa wins. I hate it, but I think it's home. That place is going to be that place is going to be rocking. But I hope they leave at halftime because they're down so much.
I think Illinois wins 17.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I'm ready. They haven't played anyone. This is going to be a wake up call for him. That is for sure.
What's funny is seeing the discourse online of like, the IU fans are like, we don't care about Illinois. Like, who's Illinois? A lot of people are like, do you know who you are in college football?
They act like just the last 2 years, like they've been good for a decade. It's like, that's like my wife even made the comment the other day. She goes, God, I hope Illinois just kills them. Because they just act so cocky. She's like, it's weird. Like, in her opinion, it's like, they're flipping like with their basketball program a little bit. I'm like, no, they're not there yet, but they like to make you think that way.
I think they Illinois shuts down Surratt and they have Mendoza has nowhere else to throw the ball. I think
Cooper's played well. Granted, it was against the fourth grade defense.
Please,
I did see the running back blew their running back threw his blew his knee out. So
yes,
oh, is that who that was? I saw they had a guy out, but I know who it was.
Yeah.
I will say this because I'm happy this is a night game. I'm happy this isn't big noon. I will say that. This is what the Big Ten contract, like TV contract, Kevin Warren. Sorry, I'm glad the Bears hired that guy. I really am.
Next topic.
The Big Ten TV contract sucks. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, next, it's.
On that note, we're going to go. Big Ten after dark at 11 p.m. kickoff for Michigan. This is unbelievable, Spartan fans. I feel bad for y'all, but you're 3-0 and you're traveling out to LA to face USC. USC is favored by 18.5.
We got a USC fan in the comment here. Looks like Mr. Morris. Fight on, fellas. Blessed Tuesday.
Thank you, sir.
Yes,
I think USC rolls in this one.
Yeah, I do too. I think
it's past Michigan State's bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If not, the Trojans are going to put Jonathan Smith and his boys to sleep pretty fast. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
We
haven't had a game like that. I guess Oregon Washington State last year was kind of late last year.
But not like this. Washington.
Might no, be not like this. But... This year.
Oh, you boys don't remember 06, do you? When we went out to Hawaii. Talk about late.
I watched it the next morning.
Yeah,
game sucked. Colt Brennan.
Yes, the coolest dude looking dude.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy. Next, I'm not commenting. Next.
All right, here are top 25 games, real quick before we cover our Purdue Notre Dame. Fox Big Noon Saturday. Number 17 Texas Tech travels to number 16 Utah. Utah's favored by 3.5.
It's going to be a good one, but I like the Raiders. I like the Red Raiders.
Give me the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Is it guns up?
I think.
Yep.
I think it's guns up for them. Same thing. I don't want to go Tennessee game because we know how we feel about them here.
Go Dogs.
Yep. Go Dogs. I will cover this game because I have a soft spot for this program. Kent State travels to Tallahassee to take on number 7 Florida State. How many does Florida State hang up on them? They're favored by 44.5.
I think they hang at least 63.
Yeah. They're going to pull their starters by the end of the first quarter. Yeah, wow. Why do you have a soft spot for Kent State? Is it because of the video game?
No, because that program is just horrendous.
All right, that's
fine. I thought it was because of Daryl Hazel.
I did too. I was going
to... No. Program having a, I can't imagine going through 2-0-12 seasons. So,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
All right, this is the game that should have been game day. Number 22, Auburn goes out to Norman to face number 11, Oklahoma. This is 330 ABC. Oklahoma's favored by 6.5 and has probably the Heisman front runner and John Mateers leading them as quarterback.
Yeah, he looks awesome.
I just saw the Heisman odds not too long ago, and he was second, I think. Yeah, he's behind. This is, again, BetMGM, but Carson Beck is plus 700. Oh, okay. Mateers plus 900.
Wow.
I think this game would elevate him if they win. And I think Venable, if he wins this game, I mean, I would say he's probably the hot seat cooling down a little bit.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I think Oklahoma gets it done.
Yep, me too.
I do too. This will be an interesting game. Tulane 3-0 travels to number 13, Ole Miss. Ole Miss favored by 11.5.
Yeah, nobody's talking about Tulane. I mean, right now they're probably the front runner to be the non-power four representative in the CFP.
Yeah, they're in South Florida, probably.
But with that said, I like Ole Miss in this game.
Yeah, same.
I like Tulane. Okay. Give me the green wave. All right, we'll go one more here. South Carolina 2-1 travels to number 23, Missouri.
I thought South Carolina was overrated, and they proved me right, losing at home to Vanderbilt, which I missed the days when Vanderbilt sucked because I think they're annoying. I think their quarterback's annoying.
Sellers got hurt, though, didn't he? Didn't Sellers get hurt?
I know he didn't play very well. Maybe he got hurt, too.
I don't know.
I think they lose again.
I think they do, too.
I think Missouri gets it done. Are the conversations about, because I mean, I saw the Virginia Tech hot board that on three put out in the first name, which sure. was Beamer, obviously, for obvious reasons. Makes his sense, dad, but I don't think he would leave.
That'd be tough.
That buyout's pretty big.
Well, just like following, obviously, your dad's like the best
exactly.
coach
in program exactly.
history. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. South Carolina's a better job as far as, but it's in a tougher conference.
I saw, I think it was Unnecessary Roughness, but they were like, UCLA and Virginia Tech, which job are you taking if you're a young head coach?
Oh, I take Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech all day, twice on Sunday.
UCLA is, and I know the guy on Unnecessary Roughness, not Roughness, one of them is a UCLA grad. He's a huge UCLA fan, and I respect that. I mean, my God, that's a tough team to like, or school to like on the football side. We've been there. But I don't see that. I don't know who they're going to hire because all the names I've seen come up, I'm like, even if I'm that coordinator, I don't touch that job.
Yeah, it's tough. And this is Virginia Tech. You've got the fan support. Yes, you don't have the Big Ten money, but the ACC is a little bit, I mean, it seems easier to maybe climb the rankings versus the Big Ten. You've got Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, potentially, obviously Nebraska and all that. So yeah, I would take, I mean, obviously the money is probably better at UCLA. But sure. Virginia Tech, I think, like, if you just have, like, I mean, just the fan support, I think would be a huge factor for me.
And Virginia Tech's a football school
compared
to basketball. UCLA is always going to be a basketball school. Even then, the fan support's not that great.
Right. They have, hands down, they have the coolest intro in college football.
Yeah, and if Sandman's hard to beat. Yep.
100% Vautech. All right, I'm not going to cover Miami and Florida because I think that one's given what's going to happen. So,
yeah,
to the game of the week for us. Purdue travels in the number 24 Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 24. Yes, 0-2. Only sixth time it's happened in college football history, based on what Fox Sports put out. Notre Dame's favored by 25.5, which is, it's come down by a point. So
money's rolling in. The money's rolling in.
It is. I need your guy score prediction, bold prediction. No, player of the game and spicy prediction, not bold prediction.
I'll go first. I want to go homer on this pick, but I can't on this one. I do say Purdue covers. I think it's going to be somewhere along the lines of 30. I'll go 38-21. I think Purdue was by about 17. Player of the game for Purdue. Man. I'm going to say Carlos Correa.
I like that kid. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. I think he does a good job containing the running back. Whose name is escaping me. It's
Jeremiah Love. He might be the best running back in the country, even though they don't use him like they should.
Yeah. Spicy prediction. Just because it hasn't happened yet, I'm saying Brady forces a turnover.
John Hawk says Notre Dame 40, Purdue 27. He's going with Nitro Tuggle for his player of the game. Good, good. I also think Purdue covers. Ultimately, I think Notre Dame's too talented to overcome that hurdle. But I'm going to go a little higher, 37-17. I was going to take Tuggle for my player of the game. I'll go George. Big George, tight end. I think he catches a touchdown. My spicy was going to be that Purdue forces multiple turnovers. But since he went down that way, I won't. Purdue has a lead at one point in this game.
Like, do you pull a Lee Corso and take a picture on the field?
God, no.
Mea culpa here. Carlos Correa plays for the Houston Astros. It's Charles Correa.
Or Charles, sorry. Yeah.
I didn't even pick up that's what you said. So
all right. The realist comes out now.
Realist?
Yeah, this is gonna be a bloodbath.
Oh God.
Can't be worse than last year.
It's not. Well, that's an all-timer. I think Notre Dame's going to win 42-14. I think Brown's going to – I think the lines are going to be probably the issue here.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to put the ball in Carr's hands that much. I think they're going to control the line scrimmage and move our defensive line back. I think Manny Powell and Charles Correa are going to have to make some tackles and a lot of them.
Yeah.
So 42-14, we don't cover. Spicy prediction. I think Jeremiah Love runs a touchdown longer than 70 yards in. I just see it probably happening. This is going to be a breakout game for him. Man, I want to go Manny Powell for my player of the game, but well, with Jack McAllister, I think he put some punts back there that are just like Coffin's Corner. They kind of are momentum shifters for a little while until they move the line of scrimmage and it's no more for us.
It will be interesting, even though Purdue's still not leaving the state of Indiana yet. This is the first road game of the year. This is only Ryan Brown's second road start of his career. The last one was Illinois. His environment's totally different than Illinois. So it will be interesting to see how a lot of these guys handle the environment. Barry Odom said this is his first time he's ever stepped on Notre Dame's campus, either as a player or a coach, any of his stops. So I'm interested, Lynch. I know you are all about discipline and penalties and lack thereof. I'm interested to see how the guys handle this environment and if they can still keep the penalties down pretty low.
I'm looking forward to Mike Shear getting just animated on the sidelines again. I loved that last week, just watching that on camera.
Evan and I didn't get to see that being at the game, so.
He is night and day different from the press conference. So, yeah, Mr. Morris, we definitely, I think that's going to be a closer score.
He flipped on us. He went 31-28 Purdue. Now it's 42-21 Leprechauns. Hey, that's still covering, though.
It is. So. It is. It is what it is. As long as we can show improvement, I have a bye week after this, so everything will be fine. They can watch the tape, as Daryl Hazel says.
Very true.
All right.
And if we do win, next week's pod is going to be an all-timer. That's all I got to say.
Any other notes before we pay some bills?
No. Just say it's hopefully we it's be better than last year. It's a low bar, but
that's very low bar set. I do have one note. I did see this in the news. Illinois Memorial Stadium is getting renamed. Mm-hmm. They got $100 million donor.
Yes, I think it's the guy at the business school, isn't it?
Yeah, which I was like, that's definitely more than Roman gave us.
Yeah, yeah.
Our big donors goes to the golf program.
That clubhouse is top notch.
It is. No, it's awesome. Don't get me. As a golfer, I love it. But I mean, I'm just stating facts.
It is facts. But also revenue sharing things I saw coming out. 15% looks like it's going to be on majority of basketball programs from revenue sharing. It's going to most basketball programs. It looks like everything's still going to be heavily leveraged on football programs for every school. I don't know where that leaves the Olympic sports and the women's sports, how this shakes out. But unfortunately, I think that's just capitalism, how the cookie crumbles, folks, unfortunately.
I know Babinski has said they've got plans for them. Like they've got kind of a rainy day fund for them. So hopefully they're able to keep those going. But hopefully. Yeah, it's kind of just fortunate the world we're in now.
It is. Mm-hmm. Speaking of capitalism, let's pay some bills.
Wow. What a transition there. But let's talk about one of our great sponsors. That's Mad Mushroom. Well, the breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, that's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Aaron, Evan, or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer by trying out their latest pizza of the month, which I don't even remember what it is since you guys have done the first two pods here, but it is bottoms up. It's I better get this banner down so I can read this.
I'll go for it for you. So it's their version of the upside down pizza. They cover the dough with lots of mozzarella cheese, drizzle on top of their traditional pizza sauce, and then you can choose your two favorite toppings to put on top of this. Tanner, you didn't answer this because you were out. What would be your two favorite toppings you'd want to be included on your pizza of the month?
You guys both know this. Well, way better. Way better than our listeners, but I'm a picky eater, but I do love me some meat on my pizza. So I'd be pepperoni sausage.
Very traditional.
Yep.
So next time you're in town, order online and use our promo code BREAK5 for any $5 off of any order over $20, including the pizza of the month. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
Yeah, and here's an interesting fact about my wife. Aside from pepperoni, her favorite pizza is pepperoni plus these two toppings. So I don't know if she would do this on a two-topping pizza. Can you guys guess the two toppings? It's strange.
It's like olives and pineapple.
Yep, green olives and pineapple.
Disgusting.
It's disgusting. Awful.
Green olives?
Green olives, not black, green.
That's disgusting.
The first time she ordered it when I was with her, the waitress goes, "What?"
It's the appropriate response.
Yeah. I can do pineapple.
I like pineapple.
I can do pineapple on pizza, especially if it's Hawaiian, but green olives, I'm out. I can't stand green olives.
It ain't a martini.
It ain't a martini. That's going to be a seller next time. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yep.
Evan, how about our other sponsor?
Yeah, we've got the shop. Once again, I'm happy to have them on board. I'm wearing the Script Purdue shirt. Super comfortable. Tanner's got his old Purdue Pete shirt, football shirt.
I don't know if that's still online, is it?
I'll check it out. Yeah, they've been making Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started out in garage basements. Now they've got it 3 retail locations across Indianapolis. You got one in Carmel, one in Broadway, one in downtown Indy. So next time you're in the Indianapolis area, stop on by. But if you can't stop in, go to theshopindy.com and make sure you use promo code breakdown. You get free shipping off your entire order. They've got some, if you're watching this, Tanner's got some awesome, the other website pulled up, they've got some pretty awesome shirts that I love the 90s heavyweight shirt that they got there. That's a throwback, which is, it sucks that your birth decade is now considered vintage, but that's the way it works. Yeah, so they've got great stuff for all schools throughout Indiana, except for the one Purdue's playing this Saturday, because they're stupid. But they've got awesome stuff that fits great, super comfortable. Like I said, if you go to the shopindy.com, use promo code BREAK, and you get free shipping off your entire order.
Yeah, can't go wrong. Headwear, drinkware, tons of t-shirts, some sweatshirts, some flags, stickers. Yeah. All right, fellas, any closing thoughts?
bring that shillelagh home.
God, that'd be awesome.
Look, it's just another opportunity, as Odom and staff say.
Yeah, just hang in there. Be competitive. Hang in there. Have our attention still going into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And I'll count that as a moral W, I guess. Yep. So, but all right, fellas, let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat the Irish.
Boiler up.
Boiler up.